this show, there will be discussions of the true crime variety. Murder, mayhem, violence, and adult themes will be talked of. Listener discretion is advised. Good evening, everybody. I have a few corrections I have to make. So, the last episodes, I referred to the podcast Generation Y as Gen Y. And that is because I talk like we're besties, and that everybody already knows what it's about, but I shouldn't assume that. If you're trying to find Gen Y and are like, why can't I find this? It's because they're actually Generation Y. They've been around for a long time, actually. They came on to the scene, they've been recording since 2012, and it's Aaron and Justin. They deserve more and better than me screwing up the name of their podcast. It's Generation Y, guys, and I promise I will get better at getting my facts straight, which leads me to my next segue. So, in regards to my deep dives on podcasts, which, by the way, any podcast I do a deep dive on is probably one I absolutely adore. I love, j'adore, with all my heart. What I'm going to be doing with those is really just giving you a basic W's, who, what, when, where, why, on that particular podcast, because I believe that as podcast nerds, you guys will probably want to just listen to it and not get so much of my opinion or my retelling of the story. And that also goes with some of my weeklies. I decided, instead of killing myself, that the podcasters already put out descriptions of their episodes that I'm just going to go ahead and share with everybody so that you guys can go ahead and decide that that is something you want to listen to. I mean, if it's in my world, I love it. The other thing, too, is throughout this process, I learned a lot about what goes into making a podcast. So in some ways, I feel terrible about even being critical of anyone's podcast, like Karen in Georgia. I'm sorry. I know that you guys took like almost an hour to get to your actual substance on your shows, but that's just because I don't have friends. So I shouldn't be mad because other people have friends and wish to talk about stuff. That's delightful. So keep doing you. Don't listen to me. If I've ever said anything bad about anybody, I'm so sorry. Except for you, Mike Bode from Sword and Scale. I really love your show. I actually like it a lot. But for some reason, you always got to be kind of a dick. Quit being such a dick, Mike Bode. Like, for real. You're always like, oh, I think what was the last thing you said was on your show that kind of pissed me off. It's like, well, if this offends you, go watch Crime Junkie or whatever. I'm like, what's wrong with Crime Junkie, jerk? Like, everyone's a snowflake. You always gotta be kind of a jerk. I don't know. You rub me the wrong way, but I still like your pod, man. It's a great, excellent pod. It's not the rinky-dink operation that I've got going. It's a one-woman show. It's all I got. So that is going to be my promise for episode 3, is I will be doing more to really promote the podcasts, especially the ones that I like. And trust me, I like just about all of them. And I'm not just a true crime. I listen to all kinds of pods. But even then, I have to narrow it down to a genre that I like, true crime. That's just my deal. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm promising to do better. I'll promise to be, you know, really, I want to prop the pods up. And let you guys get, you know, your own idea of what you want to listen to next. Instead of asking all your friends on Facebook and stuff, hey, what's the next podcast I should listen to? Maybe listen to my podcast and get a whole bunch of different ideas. And then be like, I really want to learn more about Jeffrey Dahmer. There's about 50 podcasts with that episode. Have at it. Some, they're all great. You guys work real hard. I'm doing my best. Let's get this show on the road. It's a deep dive! Deep dive! Alright, guys, we're getting into Broken Hearts. So, this is a podcast that was hosted by Justine Harmon and Lizzie Egan and produced by Glamour and How Stuff Works. It was released December 11th, 2018, and the last uploaded episode was March 9th, 2020. The story is about Sarah and Jennifer Hart, a white lesbian couple before gay marriage was legal in America, adopting three siblings out of Texas, and then another set of three siblings while under investigation for child abuse. They moved anytime CPS was involved, and when the image of perfection came under scrutiny, Jen and Sarah made the very worst of decisions. So on March 26, 2018, the Hart family GMC Yukon was found upturned on the bottom of a rocky cliff off of California's State Route 1 in Mendocino County. This murder-suicide shocked many and shows how race, the adoption system, social media, abuse, and pride played into a chain of events that got deadly, especially for Jennifer Hart, a very narcissistic woman obsessed with her image to the outside world, but cared nothing for her life off-screen and preferred control over care of her teenage children. And this really is how Sarah enabled her all the way off of a cliff. That this one, on a personal level, really opened my eyes to a lot of problems with the adoption system, with interracial adoptions, and about how at one point early in my relationship with my husband, I really did want to adopt. And, you know, I was the one who wanted to, had a soft spot for the bird with a broken wing. I wanted to, be some savior, which is another thing that comes into play, is that these women, there was a lot of white saviorism involved with their story. They felt that they swooped in and saved these children from a life of poverty and abuse, when, in fact, at least for the one set of children, the last set of children, there was an aunt who was trying very, very hard to get permanent adoption of the children. But for whatever reason, the Texas has a closed adoption, is a closed adoption state. So as soon as the parental rights are terminated, they ready the children for adoption. What was so frustrating for this family who were poor and black was that they didn't really have a chance when the Hart women, Sarah and Jennifer, came into the picture. They seemed extremely appealing to adoption advocates. And what we don't understand is that they look normal and they seem normal, but what's going on is that Jennifer Hart is putting on this show because she's the one, Sarah is working all the time to support the family, and Jennifer is receiving, checks from the state of Texas for adopting the children out of foster care. So she was the primary caregiver, but as we find out through friends and, to be honest, she didn't really have friends. Neither did Sarah. Neither of these women had a support network, which you're anyone with a child, you probably know that life is so much easier when you have that support system. They refused their support system. She lived a world online where the pictures would come out and everybody looked smiling and happy, but as soon as the photo op was done, everybody went back to lifelessness and misery. Not only were Sarah and Jennifer beating their children, they were also withholding food, and a lot of people felt that they just looked too thin. And their friends would say, well, we just thought it was because they were on a vegetarian diet. And also, a lot of the neighbors became concerned when they almost never saw the children outside. They never seemed to live outside of their home. You just have all these red flags, and I think on a personal level, for me, I had to think to myself, why do I want to adopt? What is, you have to care about children, and to be honest, I'm not sure at this point, as a grown, I'm a mom of a 9-year-old, that, kids grow up. They become bigger. They have personalities. They have hopes and dreams. And you can't just mesh them into your world and think that everything's going to be fantastic. This is just a devastating story. It is terribly sad, but I do think that this is an incredibly important story and shows a side of, a family annihilator that is a female, that's a woman. We hear, the horrible story of Chris Watts for some reason came to my mind because he was a family annihilator and decided to destroy his whole family. This was a murder-suicide and has been deemed as such because of Jennifer Hart's basically flooring it into the guardrail that sent the whole family careening. She also had a high over-the-limit blood alcohol level. This story is devastating, but it's incredibly important and very well done. Thank you, Glamour, and How Stuff Works. I believe I saw this on iHeartRadio. Broken Hearts. Check it out. That's my segment on that. This segment we like to call the Weeklies. For all those weekly cases, Okay, I'm going to talk about True Crime Garage here, which this past week they did the part one and two of a missing persons case of Suzanne Lyall. This week, join the gents in the garage as they dive into this cold case from New York. They will attempt to retrace Suzanne's steps to find out when and where she disappeared. After a cold one or two, they might even have a few potential suspects. You can go on to their show at True Crime Garage and learn all about the Suzanne Lyall case and figure out maybe, what prominent serial killer may have taken her out, or you also know that her family did a lot to get legislation put forward to keep college students stay safe. This is still an unsolved case. And another weekly episode was My Favorite Murder. They had a minisode 191, and it is your submitted stories. According to the episode description, this week's hometowns include a nun story and a serial killer connection. I gotta be honest, you'd think to yourself, oh man, I don't want to listen to a listener tales, or in this one, their hometowns. But they're actually really interesting. They're really fun, and they're about, people like you and me having weird moments or connections, and sometimes they're interesting. On that note, I do want to mention that Morbid also released their Listener Tales number 17. It's the 17th episode of Listener Tales, just from people, by people, for people. About spooky things that happened, close calls. There are a few listener tales that to this day still stick with me, and regardless of whether they're true or not, because sometimes you can't, you might want to be, I'm very skeptical of everything, so I probably try and find the solution. These are just incredibly entertaining. So, listener tales are great. The minisode 191 from My Favorite Murder. It was a pretty crazy stories. Love it. So give those a listen if you want to hear some spooky stuff from regular people. Another weekly case is Murder Squad with Jensen and Holes. Paul Holes and Billy Jensen look at the McDonald murders from 1970. This is the murder of Colette McDonald and her two young daughters in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Surgeon and former Green Beret, Jeffrey McDonald was eventually convicted of the murders, but maintains his innocence. Words today are hard. He maintains his innocence. So usually Paul and Billy go through and try and solve cases. This particular one, though, it was very interesting, is actually promoting the new podcast, Morally Indefensible, which I have just started, and it is about this McDonald murders case. Filmmaker and podcaster Mark Smerling from The Jinx is talking with them and looking into this case riddled with confessions and betrayal. Check that one out. Jensen and Holes, that was all right. I sometimes can see where you guys promote other podcasts with these similar cases. Paul and Billy from the Murder Squad are telling me to listen to Morally Indefensible, and I am. I think I'm on episode 2 or 3. It's pretty creepy. It follows this really good-looking surgeon and how a journalist befriended him during the trial, and how that, because of that friendship, there was a moral dilemma involved with both of them making money off of the story. This was before the Son of Sam laws that really put a stop to murderers making money off of their story. That's a little tie-in to that. And moving on. All right, and now coming up on a Generation Y, that's Generation WHY. They did the case of Christian Andreccio. There I go, I got it. On February 26, 2014, Meridian, Mississippi, the death of 21-year-old Christian Andreccio has been described as bizarre at best and suspicious at worst. On February 26, 2014, Christian was found slumped in a bathtub in his apartment with a gunshot wound in his right temple. The police quickly ruled his death a suicide. However, Christian's parents, Ray and Todd, immediately knew that their son did not take his own life. Over the next 5 years, they would hire private investigators, attorneys, forensic pathologists, forensic labs, and more. They all agreed that the evidence surrounding Christian's death pointed to homicide. So what were the true circumstances surrounding Christian's death? Did he die by suicide or homicide? That is often a question I like to ask of myself, of any case that I see. Was it a case of suicide or murder? I don't know why I'd have to ask myself that, but Aaron and Justin certainly asked that. And Generation Y has always been extremely detailed, very well researched. If you've ever wanted to if you ever wanted a detailed account of a case, I would strongly recommend looking up Generation Y and find that case that you want to delve into, or any old case, and you will find a plethora of information. All right, and then serial killers came up with Hannibal the Cannibal. So, part one, abused by his parents at a young age, Robert Maudsley spent his childhood bouncing from orphanages and foster homes before running away in 1969. He spent years living on the streets of London, where he met a man with a dark secret and decided that that man couldn't live. So that is part one. They came out with part two, and I'm about to start it, and it just seems already that I don't think his moniker, Hannibal the Cannibal, really fits. But you'll also see why if you just listen to Serial Killers on Robert Maudsley. Poor Robert Maudsley. Crime Junkie this week covered the case of Stacy Stanton. So after 3 decades of rumors, secrets, and one man's conviction, The question remains, who really killed Stacy Stanton? Be sure to tune into Counterclock Season 2 starting September 10th. This is hosted... So, okay, Crime Junkie is hosted by Ashley Flowers and Britt Prawat, but Britt was not there because they were supposed to be doing vacation. So instead, they decided to cover a little bit about Stacy Stanton, who is going to be featured in Season 2 of Counterclock. This is an Audio Chuck production and is hosted by Delia D'Ambra. Season 1 of Counterclock covered the case of Denise Johnson. And Denise Johnson also died under suspicious circumstances in the same area as Stacy Stanton. I believe after I've just started Counterclock, so I'll be knowing a little bit more about these cases, but this last episode with Stacy Stanton was just a brief overview of the case. If you really want an in-depth look at the Stacy Stanton case, you should look at the podcast Counterclock Season 2. All right, so I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about networks on this absolute favorite section, because I had no idea that a lot of my favorite podcasts are actually part of certain networks. So Morbid, one of my all-time favorites, just announced over the week that they are starting Morbid Network. So some of these... podcasts I just wet my feet on, and I love them, so I'm so happy to get some new ones. They're going to have Cult Leader with Spencer Henry. It's spelled a cult like you would C-U-L-T, liter, L-I-T-E-R, like a liter of soda instead of a leader of the pack, if you will. Then there are Seven Deadly Sinners with Rachel O'Brien, and I just started that. It's awesome. It is really about religious leaders and mega church leaders and televangelists who are basically using their power over the religious minded for money, greed, sex, power. It's crazy good. The Strange and Unusual podcast with Allison Horrocks. I have yet to find that, and I will still be looking for it. That's Spooky is with Johnny and Tyler, and that is also one that I was able to find on Stitcher, and it's pretty fun. Last week they covered a Canadian drag race. And that was fun, but it wasn't true crime. But I'm looking forward to more of that. And then finally, the Scream podcast with Elena and Caleb from Horror Soup. So Scream! Exclamation point. So that's awesome. I'm really excited about that. I just found out that Obsessed, all the True Crime Obsessed podcasts are under the Obsessed Network. So they had just released their Unjust and Unsolved podcast. They also are put out Obsessed with Abducted in Plain Sight, which is a great podcast. It really delves into the Abducted in Plain Sight documentary. And of course, they have Obsessed with Disappeared and True Crime Obsessed. I also saw that the Parcast Network is generally has like a very fitted format. They have Medical Murders, Crime Countdown, Serial Killers, Killer Knowledge, which is a true crime game show. I have not heard it. I'm interested. Kingpins, Female Criminals, Cults, Today in True Crime, Con Artists, Crimes of Passion, Not Guilty, Mind's Eye, Unsolved Murder, True Crime Stories, Hostage, Sports Criminals, Assassinations, and Solved Murders. That's a bunch. But finally, Wondery? I didn't even know this. they basically put out Dateline and all of the Dateline sub, I guess, like a sub pods, where they would have like, okay, like Motive for Murder is with Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline, and The Thing About Pam is with Keith Morrison from Dateline. Those are great. I didn't know that Wondery, I'm not gonna say they own Dateline, but they're the network that puts out Dateline. So that's awesome. They also put out Joe Exotic, which is actually part of the Over My Dead Body series. But Joe Exotic, they put in their Billionaire Boys Club, Guru, 13 Alibi, The Dating Game Killer. That one was good. Detective Trap was awesome. Bad Batch was pretty good. The Mysterious Mr. Epstein, Young Charlie, Cold. Oh my God. I'm probably going to do a deep dive on Cold and Generation Y. So Wondery, I didn't even know they had that many podcasts. Exactly Right is another network. They put out The Fall Line, My Favorite Murder, and The Murder Squad. I think they also do. Yeah, My Favorite Murder. Duh, that's right there. So those are the networks that I. Oh, and NPR has White Lies and Believed. So those are ones that I could do deep dives on as well. I was just very excited for Morbid Network getting their network together and having all these awesome new podcasts that I'm looking forward to. They seem like they're all a lot of fun. Cult Leader with Spencer Henry, I really liked because he has some really good information and details and clips, and his pacing for his cases are like all within 30 minutes, and they clip along with good like research. So yeah, that's the networks that I was like looking at and kind of thinking, I don't know, excited. I'm like, Morbid Network, hit me up. I want to be part of your network too. Anyway, so that's all I have right now for my absolute favorite podcast. Next week I'll have all of my actual favorites because they just put them out and I'll be able to talk about it in the next episode. So if you want to follow me, you can go to, I'm at Grace's World of True Crime Podcasts on Twitter. I am Grace's World of True Crime Podcasts on Facebook at Grace True Crime. I believe on my Instagram. I am still working on it. But if you'd like to go ahead and follow me on that, please do tell your friends and yeah, stay sane out there. I just felt like playing you guys out with a little something. Nice, you know? Good luck, everybody. Don't be an irony.